Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, knowing that the righteousness of God is bestowed on sinners who believe the gospel is incredible news to anyone thinking he or she can never be good enough to enter heaven. That's what justification by faith is all about. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Now, Erwin Lutzer continues a series on the power of a clear conscience. We're in the midst of our seventh message, one in which we're finding the secret of being forgiven forever, thanks to the gospel.
It is a free gift. And all of Luther's attempts to please God and his attempts to do all that he was doing only ended up with a ledger that was not in his favor. And he knew that he was headed to judgment. But Jesus gives us the righteousness of God. A second word or phrase is complete. It is complete. Now, I'm going to explain something to you that could be a means of deliverance for many of you. That's how deeply I feel about this message. And that is this, that when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, your sins are legally forgiven, past, present, and future. It has to be that way. And that's exactly what the Bible teaches. How many of your sins were future when Jesus Christ died? Well, all of them. Because you and I certainly were not on the scene 2,000 years ago when Jesus died. So Jesus anticipating the sins that would be committed among those whom he would save, he took all those upon him in one offering. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, for by one offering he perfected forever those who are sanctified. But now I do want you to turn to another passage just so that you make sure that I'm biblical here and I'm not making this up. This is Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, and I'm going to begin sort of right here in verse 13. It says that God made us alive together with Christ, Colossians 2:13, having forgiven all of our trespasses, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. You see, in those days, the sins that a person committed were always placed above the cross. Now, Pilate had written, Jesus, the King of the Jews. That was his sin. All of your sins, figuratively speaking, were nailed to the cross because there was this long list, and God says, I'm going to take care of the sins that Erwin Lutzer, who has not yet been born, will someday commit, and I'm going to take care of all of them. And it's a pretty good long list. It's not as long as Pastor Birchie's. His goes on. His goes on to the next column. And there are some of you who are listening. Your list is longer than the both of us put together, right? And God says, that's what Jesus is guilty of. That's why Luther, when he was finally able to see the gospel, said, my sins do not belong to me. My sins belong to Jesus. He's the one who was guilty of all my sin, whom God made sin for us, that I might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so what we see is the fact that it takes care of all sin. Now I have to ask you a question. Was Luther converted there back in the monastery in Erfurt when he spent hours confessing his sins? Of course not. There are millions of people who are going to be going to confession today who do not understand the gospel and who have never received the gift of eternal life. You see, if salvation was just taking care of the sins of the past, even if you remember them all and you confess them all, as I mentioned earlier, tomorrow is another day and there's no assurance that you really are right with God, because that'll depend on how many sins you commit tomorrow and how many you have to confess. You see, when Luther began to understand the gospel, and he began to understand that Jesus died in our behalf, and that the merit of Jesus is ours, then he was free from the endless treadmill of good works and sacraments which could never bring peace to his soul. So when you receive Christ as Savior, you now understand that the decision that you're making affects your whole eternity, not just past sins. 24 hours a day, God demands perfection if we're to walk in his presence. 24 hours a day, Jesus Christ supplies what God demands. And so he always is meeting our requirements. Well, do we still as Christians confess our sins? Yes, having received the good news of the gospel, having all of our sins taken care of legally from now until all the way to heaven's door and beyond. Yes, we do. It's a discipline that God puts us through so that we might be able to walk in fellowship. You can take the message I preached last week and you can insert it right here as you learn to walk in the light. But we don't walk in the light through confession in order to be converted, in order to be saved. That happened when we received Christ as our Savior. That is secure. Our position before God has not been altered as a result of our struggles and sins. So the second word that I have for you today is the word. Well, now, what is that word I gave you? Complete. Complete. Next word, number three, guarantee. Guarantee. Think this through. When you receive the righteousness of Jesus Christ and you receive him as your Savior, that means that from now until all of eternity, your end result is guaranteed. After all, the Bible does say, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, nakedness, peril, sword?" No. Jesus talked about the fact that when you were one of his sheep, my sheep hear my voice and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and no one shall pluck them out of my hands. My Father who gave them to me is greater than all, and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hands. I've been at Moody Church now for 35 years, and I've always wanted to preach a message entitled Hands in Harmony, where you have the hand of the Son and the hand of the Father together. Maybe someday I'll do that. But notice this, one of the first doctrines that Luther gave up once he understood the righteousness of God is credited to us is the doctrine of purgatory. Because you see, purgatory was based on the idea that nobody really dies righteous enough to go to heaven. Oh, there are a few people and we call them saints and they go directly to heaven. But the common person is not righteous enough to go into heaven. So what he has to do is he has to go to purgatory where he will be purged, and nobody knows how long it is. And then after he's been purged, God will say, well, now that you've paid for all of your sins that weren't taken care of on earth, now you're ready to enter heaven. I've talked to people who say, as long as I can get to purgatory, I know that I'll eventually make it into heaven, but I don't want to die with a mortal sin. Well, the simple fact is, if the righteousness of God is credited to you when you believe in Jesus, as it is, then you arrive in heaven on the basis of Jesus Christ's merit, and you are welcomed into heaven as if you are Jesus, because you're based there on his merit. That's why the Bible says, Jesus said, if you believe on me, you'll never see death. Oh, you'll see it for a second, maybe. But you go from this life to the next without a hassle at the border. Many of you may know that for most of my life, I was a Canadian citizen. Now, thank God, I am an American, along with all the rest of you. But When I was a Canadian citizen, and I kind of still am, it's a little fuzzy. Canada couldn't keep me out. I had a passport, so I go there. Oh, you're a Canadian citizen. You're coming home. Yeah, I'm coming home. You know that the Bible says that in Jesus, we're in heaven already. It says in Ephesians 2 that we are raised with Jesus Christ. We are seated with him already in heavenly places. It is a done deal, and we can have the assurance that when we die, there will be no hassle at the border because Jesus died for sinners. You know, my mother died a number of years ago. She died at 103. As many of you know, my father died at 106. I always called my mother every Saturday night, and she thought that maybe God misplaced her address. But one day, just to tease her, because I knew her so well and how she loved Jesus and had been gloriously converted, I said, "Mom, are you sure that when you die, you're going to go to heaven?" And she said, "I am as sure as if I already were there." Not because she was a righteous woman, though she was, but it wasn't her works that did it. It is totally, completely the merit of Jesus. And if you come to heaven and say, and God says, "Why should I let you into heaven?" And you say, "Well, you know, I tried to live a good life to balance the scales," God will turn away from you and you will be lost forever. Nobody gets to heaven because they've been able to balance the scales. No merit of my own, but thanks be to God, the merit completely of Jesus. There's another phrase I want to give you, and that is personal assurance. Personal assurance. You see, what happens is this, and I noticed that Pastor Colin Smith referred to this in a message recently that I heard over the radio. He said that even after you are acquitted by God, you can still have guilt feelings. Let's go back to that illustration I gave you earlier. You know, the one where the kid has violated the law, the judge pays for him. When he leaves the courtroom, he could still feel guilty. Because the boy could say, "You know, I was actually guilty of going beyond the speed limit." If you commit a crime and God declares you innocent, and of course there's a difference between God doing it and human beings doing it, because we have to have consequences and the judicial system. But if that happens in your life and your experience, you may say, "Well, God has forgiven me, but I still feel guilty because I did do a very evil thing." What you need to do now is to educate your conscience, because your conscience now is lying to you. Your conscience is telling you you are guilty of something that God has acquitted you for. So before others, you may have to live out the consequences of your guilt and your sin, but before God, the slate is entirely clear. But you and I may still suffer consequences and guilt feelings lie, and what you have to do is to retrain your conscience at this point. You can't go by feelings. They scream lies at us. One illustration, and I could give many of a similar nature. I was supposed to be speaking in a church in Michigan, and for some reason, I was very angry and discombobulated. I don't know if that word is still used, but you can kind of figure out what the meaning is. And I was parking the car, and in 10 or 15 minutes I had to speak at this conference. And I felt guilty, I felt like a failure, I felt all kinds of weight of sin. And I began to think, what am I going to do? Can I stand and preach and talk about all the beauties of the gospel going into the pulpit like that? So in the car, I was alone. I suggest you do this when you're alone. I spoke out loud to the devil, and I said, "Be gone, Satan, for it is written, 'Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, and is even now on the right hand of the throne of God, who makes intercession for us.'" And I'll tell you, within a matter of minutes, my conscience was brought in line to the truth of Scripture, and I was able to go there and to preach a message something like this one, and a missionary present said, if I had heard this message 20 years ago, I'd have been delivered from all of the guilt and all of the struggles that I've had on the mission field for the last 20 years. You see, what we need to do is we need to educate our conscience in accordance with the Word of God, because there are times, now you don't stifle your conscience. You don't go into drugs and alcohol to stifle the conscience. But what you say is, conscience, you form an important function in my life, but right now you're lying to me. There is, therefore, now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. You folks who are listening to this message, may I urge you to believe this to the very center of your being, that you stand righteous before God because of the work of Jesus Christ. And you stand on that. Now, you say, well, I have issues, though, with other people. I've wronged other people. And I'm going to be preaching a message about that still in this series. So please stay tuned. Finally, I want to zero in on the word elect. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? So who are the elect? They are the ones whom God marked out from before the foundation of the world, that he would overcome their darkness, overcome their unbelief, and savingly believe on Jesus. Well, you say, I don't like that at all. I mean, you motorboaters. Yeah, but. Well, let me tell you something. Don't complain too much. Because you can find out whether or not you are a member of the elect. Is that fair enough? What you need to do, if God has worked in your heart, is to believe on Jesus. Stop trusting your goodness. Trust wholly in the work of Christ. Transfer your trust to Jesus alone, and then you will know that you are elect. That's the only way you can know, is by coming to Christ in humble repentance and receiving, by faith, the gift of eternal life. And then you can know. And you will know it by the work of the Spirit, by the assurance of the Word of God. And if you struggle with assurance, that can be very normal. All of us do from time to time. And that's why here at the Moody Church, we have prayer partners after the service. We want to help you in those areas. But the fact is this, that you and I must be aware of the fact that when we come to Christ, he will receive us. He will not cast anybody out who comes. So if the Spirit is working in your heart, you come, and you'll be a member of the elect. Then you'll know that you are a member of the elect. Maybe I could illustrate justification this way. I have a book up here. It's actually a hymnal. Let us suppose, and I'm thinking of a man that I interviewed years ago who eventually died of AIDS, and I think of him because his life was a mess, but he came to saving faith in Jesus Christ. I'll use him as an example, though I could use myself, I could use anyone as an example. But this is the illustration I gave him. I said, now, Roger, let's think of two books. This is your book. It says The Life and Times of Roger. Well, you open it up. It's pretty ugly. All kinds of sin, all kinds of betrayal. Ugh. Over here, though, is another book called The Life and Times of Jesus Christ. You open it up. Nothing but beauty, perfection, meeting God's standards in everything, paying for our penalty. Wow, it's a beautiful book. In salvation, what God in effect says is, I'm going to tear out all the insides of your book. I'm going to take the insides of my book, and I'm going to shove it in between your covers. Oh, The Life and Times of Roger. Nothing but beauty, nothing about holiness. The book is so beautiful that even God adores it. That is the gospel. I love this poem. The terrors of God and of hell for me can have nothing to do. My Savior's obedience and blood hides all of my sins from view. My name on the palm of his hands eternity cannot erase. Forever there it stands, a mark of indelible grace. Has God talked to you today? Those of you who have never received Christ, you don't have the assurance of eternal life because you've been basing it on works, you've been basing it on your confession, and you have never personally said, Jesus, this moment, I believe on you. Father, I'm asking in the name of Jesus right now, work throughout this audience here at the Moody Church. For those who are watching on the internet or listening by radio, in all of the different means by which this message will be listened to, we pray that your Holy Spirit will show people the beauty and the completeness of the gospel. May they believe on you right now and thank you for your amazing love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. So glad that you listened, by the way. These messages on a clear conscience are so incredibly important. And certainly at the end of this broadcast, you'll be given information as to how these messages can be yours, because they are not only for you, they are also for others who need to hear that God has an answer to the dilemmas of life. God has an answer for our guilt, if we'll but receive it. You know that we have the privilege here at Running to Win to be able to share the gospel with many people. And maybe even today, as a result of this message, you've received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And we'd be very happy to hear from you. We'd be glad to be able to encourage you in your walk with God. There are two ways that you can do that. Go to moodymedia.org. moodymedia.org, and there you will find a contact button. You can connect with us. Let us know that Running to Win has been a blessing to you. But also in a moment, you're going to be given an 800 number, and that number will connect you with some of our personnel here at Running to Win, and you can share with them what God has done in your heart. And to the many of you who listen, who support us, thank you so much. As you know, we are totally dependent upon your generosity and all that God has done through you to be able to support these broadcasts. Together, we are making a difference, and you are helping. The power of a clear conscience. We can think of a conscience as the window to the soul, and you and I know that when a window gets smudgy, light is hampered. And in the very same way, when there's smudge on our conscience, when we have a defiled conscience, the light does not get through very well.
Erwin Lutzer brings crucial teaching that cuts right to the heart.
When it comes to dealing with addictions, people don't need any more condemnation. They already feel it. What we need is grace. And at the end of this message, it is my intention to show you God's grace and to leave you there and me there where we all need to be.
And it's grace that helps us forgive.
Therefore, the scripture says, be tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you.
We must let go of bitterness at all costs.
Jesus shed his blood so that you and I could be redeemed. We could experience forgiveness, and then he gives us plenty of opportunities to forgive in return. That's why I say in the notes, lay it down, lay it down, lay it down. Be free in Jesus who redeemed you.
The power of a clear conscience. 10 life-changing messages on CD will be sent as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call right now at 1-888-218-9337. That's 1-888-218-9337. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Online, reach us at rtwoffer.com. That's rtwoffer.com. Bitterness is like a cancer that spreads everywhere in the body. It destroys your joy. Next time, how bitterness can be uprooted from your life for good. Thanks for listening. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is sponsored by the Moody Church.